Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. This is the beginning of the third week of Easter. Remember this, third week of Easter. Celebrate, rejoice in the resurrection. Rejoice in the fact that God's risen life is within you. Rejoice in the sacrament of reconciliation. Rejoice in the sacrament of the Eucharist. All this has come to us because of Christ's life and death upon the cross and his resurrection from the dead for you and for me. This is also the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. Just a moment's background. In 1955, Pius XII moved the feast of Joseph's patronage of the Universal Church to May 1st, and he renamed it in honor of Joseph the Worker. Joseph watches over the entire church, just as he protected the original domestic church, that is, the Holy Family. Through the work of his hands, Joseph provided for the material needs of Mary and Jesus. He educated Jesus. He patiently schooled him in the trade of carpentry. Work was the daily expression of love in the life of the family of Nazareth. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Help us to realize the value and the dignity of the work we do. May it all, no matter how humble it may seem or how great it may seem, may all of it glorify you and honor you now and forever. Thank you, Joseph, for your yes to God. Thank you for your faithfulness all through your life to serve Mary and Jesus. May you be blessed forever, Saint Joseph. Let's take a look now at the readings for today. First reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verses 8 to 15. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and people from Cilicia and Asia came forward and debated with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. So if you're a wise person, if you hear wisdom greater than yours, what should you do? Go and learn. Learn so that your wisdom is enhanced. But what do we so often do? And certainly what happened here, what happens is they instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." False accusation. Why? Because they're jealous. Instead of trying to learn and have everybody grow, they turn against him. And then, after they did that, they instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." And then they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes. They accosted him, seized him, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses. Why? Because they're challenged, they're threatened, they want to get rid of him. That's what human nature does, get rid of it. Anything that bothers me, get rid of it. Rather than, "Lord, are you trying to teach me something here?" What if they had listened to Stephen and opened up their hearts? How much more would they have received? They presented false witnesses who testified, "This man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law. We have heard him claim that this Jesus, the Nazarene, will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us." They knew how to frame their statements to cause the most damage. All lies. All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. God's grace, God's love was shining through him, and it became visibly, physically present. Think about that. Stephen knew he was being discriminated against, seriously discriminated against. He knew they were speaking lies, but he was filled with grace and power. And all he could do was be like Jesus and stand there. Psalm 119, blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Though princes meet and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Yes, your decrees are my delight. They are my counselors. I declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts and I will meditate on your wondrous deeds. That's what Stephen in effect did. He listened. Remove from me the way of falsehood. Favor me with your law. The way of truth I have chosen. I have set your ordinances before me. I want to follow the way of truth. Not all the lying. Not all the confusion that these jealous leaders tried to disseminate throughout the people. Brothers and sisters, it comes back to haunt you after a while. Don't go down that road. You might have a quick success, as they did in the death of Stephen, but I'm sure it came back to haunt them. Brothers and sisters, seriously, live in the truth. Live in the light. When you come up against something that challenges you, something that affects your pride, don't act. Stop. Just stop. Get yourself in a quiet little place as soon as you can and say, Lord, Lord, my pride's being hurt here. Lord, I want to retaliate. Lord, I want to get back at them. All you do is make things worse for you in the end. Ask God for the grace and the wisdom to know what to do and what to say. And sometimes the greatest wisdom is say nothing. Just step out of the argument. Sometimes God will give you what you need to say. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, one of the most powerful psalms on the power of Scripture. Read it. It's a long, very long psalm. Read it. Read it again. Read it again. I read it 1 year in prayer. I read it every day for a year. And the power of the word, the power of obedience to the word, the power of the living word to feed and to challenge and to nourish, to comfort and to call on is so great. Open your heart. Open your heart and receive all that God has. Please. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 22 to 29. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. That's a lot, isn't it? He feeds 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish, and then they see him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? They're trying to figure it out. Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered them and said, Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. In other words, he had given them a good meal. They were hungry a lot of the time. He had given them a good meal. And he said, that's actually why you're looking for me. And then he says, do not work for food that perishes. Work for the food that endures for eternal life. What you want is the bread of the Eucharist, and what you want is the food of the living Word of God. This is not in the gospel, I'm telling you. This is what you need that your hunger may be satisfied. For on him the Father God has set his seal. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal. So they said to him, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. So this is not a matter of having a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, though good study is very, very important, and it opens a deeper, much deeper understanding for us of the scriptures. So good scholarship, we need it. But even above that is a heart that is attentive to God, a heart that listens to his word, a heart that allows the word to, in a sense, examine him. Yes, I'm living that. No, I'm not living that. What am I going to do about this? Being honest. The word has the power of God in it. And that word can change your life. It changed mine. It's a living word. Treat it with care. That's why I've often in the past urged people that when you're about to read scripture, kiss the Bible or kiss the page on which you're reading. Make a sign. Don't put things on top of it. Always have it at the top. Don't just have it on your coffee table. Have it in your heart. Have it in your room. Have it beside your bed. Have it in your purse. Have it in the car. Have it in your briefcase. Have it. Use it. Keep it around you all the time. And then, brothers and sisters, receive the Eucharist as much as you can. You need nourishment. We need nourishment to live what God wants us to live. We can't do it on our own. It's not our own strength. It's not our own power. It's not our own wisdom. It's his. And so you and I want to be in a place where, as Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. How does our faith grow if we don't nourish it? And it's the word and the Eucharist, good scripture study, absolutely, but primarily the scriptures themselves and the Eucharist. That's where you're fed. Very different ways, and both very, very important. God gave us himself in the flesh, in the Eucharist. He gave us the scripture. These should be our two main, I don't want to say tools, they should be our two main life-giving sources. Please open your heart. Please make some decisions. Please follow him more and more closely, that others might find him through you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.